The Tom Woods Show, episode 1951.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, if you're like me, one of the most demoralizing things is when someone utters the truth and then lamely apologizes. Well, not these folks. I've got a free ebook of stories from heroic professors who told the PC mob to go pound sand. Stories from Jordan Peterson, Michael Rechtenwald, and others. Check it out at againstthemob.com. Hey, everybody, Tom Woods here. Well, we are at that time of year, back to school, and a lot of parents are wondering about what they should do because the craziness has not gone away. And also over the past year, I think they've learned more and more that a lot of the people teaching their kids are more or less at war with them and yet are in charge of their kids' brains in one way or another, and they're wondering if that's such a good idea. But at the same time, it is perfectly understandable that somebody might think, I'm not good enough to homeschool my kids. I'm not smart enough. I don't have the background. I don't have the skill to do it. I don't have the time to do it. I don't have the financial wherewithal to do it. All entirely understandable. And people should not be shamed for having these concerns. So therefore, I have brought onto the program an expert on the subject, longtime homeschooling mom, who's also been a teacher in the public school system. So she's seen things from a number of angles, and that's Laura Swain. And I want her to answer some of these common questions and maybe give you the confidence to take that leap, even at this relatively late date. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
It's that time of year. I don't understand. My part of the country, kids are already back in school, and it's, you know, like the middle of August. And by the way, in Florida, the middle of August, it's about 158 degrees. I don't know why they would do that. I lived in Massachusetts, and we started after Labor Day, and it was way cooler in Massachusetts, temperature-wise. Who even knows why they do that? It's just another form of torture. But anyway, it is that time of year when people think about education again, and they think about what their plans are and what their kids are going to do and so on and so forth. So it seemed like an opportune moment to talk to you and talk about your background, the things you do, and your insights into this. So I guess you spent some time as a public school teacher?
Yes, I taught for 5 years, actually in my hometown where I grew up. So I grew up in the school system, going to the public schools here near Dayton, Ohio. And I ended up fortunately finding a teaching job in the same district. I taught third grade for my first year, and then I taught second grade for 4 years.
Okay. Now, do you have any, I'm just curious. I mean, we've all heard horror stories about public schools. And on the other hand, we all know some teacher we still, you know, think fondly of many years later. Do you have any, I don't know, any recollections or anecdotes that you think might be in some way revealing about the system?
Yes. So my husband, Dave, and I still live here in the same area, and the school district is highly regarded. So it sometimes comes as a surprise to people when they find out that we have chosen to homeschool our 4 kids here, because I was a teacher here in this affluent and well-regarded district, and I was also a student here in this district, and then we chose to keep our kids home with us. So I will say that I, like, as a teacher in the district, I had a pretty good experience. I loved my job. I loved teaching. I can't ever remember not wanting to be a teacher when I was growing up. And I was thrilled to be able to teach and come back and teach alongside some teachers that who I even had when I was growing up. And that was really special. I loved connecting with my students, but I was a workaholic and I often ended up working 70 hours a week, trying to fit what I believe to be true about what children need into a system that is antithetical to that. And so I have had good teachers too. I have, like, one of my favorite teachers. I just saw her recently. She was my middle school English teacher. We did this really fun project in middle school on the Iditarod in Alaska because she was from Alaska. So that was, you know, I still remember that years later. I had a wonderful literacy professor in college. So I definitely have those touch points where I have this positive experience that I remember from school. Same as a teacher, I had some teammates who I still stay connected with, who were really kind toward me as when I was a beginning teacher, who were really supportive and had, like, this heart for children. But the way the whole thing is structured, you can have that heart and you could have the best of intentions, but you're still limited by your resources and your time with the kids and how everything is laid out, all of the things you're obligated to uphold as a teacher, the subjects you're obligated to cover. And John Taylor Gatto, who, if you haven't read him, I know you probably have, Tom, but to anyone who's listening, if you haven't read him, I highly recommend him. He talked about being a teacher and other teachers who have a good heart in this horrible system. He likened it to throwing sand in the gears of the machine, which some people feel called to that. That's great. But to me, it seemed fruitless to stay there.
Yeah. And I can understand there are a lot of cases where you can make the case for staying there and working from the inside and, or just leaving and creating something of your own. And I can perfectly understand people who follow either strategy. And I see that in the university system. There are perfectly good university professors. I wouldn't want them to leave. You know, Peter Klein is doing great work teaching economics. I don't want him to leave. But I think it was best for me to leave because I created Liberty Classroom, and now way, way more people can get the truth than I would ever have run into in my classroom. So on balance, it was much better for me to devote myself to that. So I'm glad of, you know, about what it is you're doing. I think you are on the cusp of being able to help a huge number of families out there. So let's talk about the why. We'll talk about how later, but okay, let's reaffirm this now, especially in this day and age where it's not impossible that there could be a vaccine mandate if they approve that vaccine for children, which they've said in the UK they're not going to do, but in the US it's all insanity, so you never know what's going to happen. So you got that potential problem coming down the pike, but also, you know, you have people who are basically at war with you, warping your kids' brains, and the results aren't even all that good. And so what's the why? Why should people do it? Why shouldn't they? It's a lot easier to just send the kid to school, and then you have the whole day off, right?
Yeah. Yes. And I think that even those of you who are listening, who have been listening to Tom for a long time, and you see so clearly all of these issues that are not only like not serving your kids well, but as you develop more complex opinions and ideas about liberty, I think you start to realize, wow, like participating in this system goes against what I believe about the world and how it should work and how we should exist together as people. However, even though you have that tension, like as a parent, if you have been in the system, like many of us have from almost birth, then these ideas about what education is and what learning is are so deep-seated, and these misconceptions are so insidiously planted in our minds that we think as parents that we are going to fail our children. And so in terms of why not, that is probably one of the biggest obstacles for families. Of course, questions about socialization come up, or families who might have to revert to one income instead of two. There are other obstacles, but I would say the most common obstacle I encounter with families who are feeling pulled to homeschool, but who haven't taken the leap yet, is because they don't want to fail their children. And I think that when we spend time digging into the why, like you just brought up, it helps us understand that like, we really have nothing to lose. It's not like they're in the system getting this, like the highest quality of education. Even if they have wonderful teachers, they're still delivering this information, like you were just talking about, Tom, that is not, it just does not line up with our convictions as families. And so having control of what your children are encountering, like in terms of information, is so important. And one thing that's really close to my heart and my husband Dave's is that we want to raise our children to be critical thinkers. And they, like our oldest is 8 years old, and she is like the questions that she asks and the things that she pieces together are just astounding to me. Like I wasn't doing that at eight. And just this habit that we're practicing with her of questioning the information that you encounter and not automatically assuming that it's true is something that they won't get that in the school system. In fact, they get the opposite. They get the message that they get is that you need to comply to succeed, and you need to regurgitate this very specific set of facts to show that you're intelligent. And so there are kids who might do well in spite of that because of their personality or because of natural intellect or other things. But for many children and many families, being able to have live out your core beliefs from birth onward so that your children are growing up in a home where they can question the status quo without being flayed. They can not worry about fitting in. They can just, like you just said, having tools like Liberty Classroom and being able to offer that caliber of instruction to your children. The comparison, the difference between these two paths is so vast that it's just like when you pull them up next to each other, it seems pretty clear to me what the better option is.
I wonder if some families, I can understand why people might feel this way, but they might hesitate to get started because they feel like, I haven't answered every question in my mind that I might have about this. I haven't lined up exactly how it's going to work. I haven't formulated in my mind exactly what each day is going to look like and what materials I'm using and whatever. I think it's the kind of thing, it's like a lot of things where people become paralyzed because they think the scope of it is so great and the significance of it, the education of their own children is so important that it leads them to a kind of paralysis where they wind up just not doing anything. And I think it would be better to just dive right in and go ahead and do it and learn as you go rather than fall into the trap of inaction.
Absolutely. And I think, again, the reasoning and the heart behind that is a good thing. We care, our children are clearly the most important thing in the entire world to each of us who are parents. And their future well-being and happiness and success is obviously very important too. And so we have this, we put so much pressure on ourselves and we get into this idea that every minute decision or even big decision we're making now will put them on a set of rails that takes them off into the horizon and they will never be able to veer from that track. And so the type of preschool experience my child has determines whether or not they can get into Harvard. And part of that is because of our love of our children, but another part of that pressure is external because that's the culture we live in. And so it's very understandable that you feel like you have to come up with a plan before you venture into the unknown. But I think there are two benefits to diving in without a plan. One is that you act. Like you said, you're not bound by paralysis or perfectionism. You take this brave step. And that's the first thing I tell people who I'm pretty active in some local and state homeschooling groups on Facebook. And they say, what do I need to do first? I say, you need to, here are the steps, 1, 2, 3 of what the law says about what you need to do to notify. In Ohio, we have to notify to homeschool. And so do this first, and then you'll have plenty of time to figure out your plan after. And that feels terrifying to most people, but it's so rewarding because you beat the inertia, you get into motion and then things start falling into place. And the second benefit is that our children are watching us. And when they see us act out of a conviction we hold so dear, even though it's downright terrifying, that lesson is something that they're living with you when you do this experience of diving into homeschooling together. And the value of that lesson is going to stay with them for their entire lives. And that is serving them well. As parents, it's not about, and I say this, and I still struggle with these fears too, but it's not about having all the answers for our children. It's not about not making any mistakes. It's about living in an authentic way with them. And so they can see how we manage our own failures and own frustrations, our own fears. And they can realize that the path to success in life and to love and happiness as a family is not the road of perfection.
Let's talk about learning itself, because we're so, I think, captivated by the model, the K-12 sitting in the classroom model, that I think sometimes people feel like it's not really learning unless you're sitting neatly in a row at a desk with a pencil and a notebook and dutifully listening to what the teacher is saying and writing it down. But of course, once you leave the K-12 environment, the rest of the education that you get incidentally over the course of your life does not occur in that format at all. You go to a museum, you learn something. You read an article, you learn something. And I think this model, even for those people who want to homeschool, meaning they are willing to separate themselves from the established way of doing things, they still feel like, well, now in my home, I have to have a little desk and the pencil and the notebook and somebody in front talking to them. But maybe there is a broader way to think about this.
Absolutely. And so I, like, out of my experience, both as a student in public school and then in college and then as a teacher, I've come to see that the way our culture and public school think about the words like education or learning is very manufactured. And John Gatto calls this the factory model of education. It's very similar to a conveyor belt where everything is systematized. And they have to do that because of logistics. If they're beholden to state or national standards, if they're teaching masses of kids at the same time, if there's so many strings attached to the money, then of course, everything has to happen in the same way at the same time. And so like when you encounter words like learning or education in the public school factory model, everything is standardized and has to be the same. Everything is linked to academic subjects, namely reading and math. When I was teaching, the other subjects were kind of crammed in when you could get to them, but like literacy and math were revered above all else as the key to the universe. In the public school model, learning is also discrete. That means there's this discrete period of your life from the ages of 6 to 18 where you are learning. And then you better have learned everything you need to know before you head out into the big wide world. In this model, learning is also seen to be finite. Like there's a certain amount of facts that you can check off that you know, and then you're done. And it mostly comes from experts dispensing the learning to you. And a picture that comes to my mind when I think of all of these qualities is that children are treated like they are empty vessels or cups to be filled. And so like I have a drink of water in front of me and I can see it's about halfway full. And so like there's this very discrete amount left to be filled and it can be filled pretty much in one way just by pouring it straight in. And I don't think that's at all how children and people in general actually learn or operate. Because what I've seen in the classroom, what I've seen with my own children, and I'm privileged to work with many homeschool families one-on-one for portfolio reviews as part of the Ohio homeschool law. And in my experiences, it is so clear that children are not at all empty. And for those of us who are parents, like we can like remember so clearly those first minutes with our children. And I still remember the first time my oldest looked at me when she like right after she was born, she just looked at me with those big blue eyes. And like throughout her life, from the moment she was born and figured out how to get my attention so I can help meet her needs, when she was a toddler and learning how to walk and talk. And now that she's this big 8-year-old and learning like knows everything that there is to know about horses, all of these things, she has been learning from the moment she came into the world and she's never stopped. And that's true of you and me, Tom, and anybody who's listening. We are constantly piecing together information and solving problems throughout our lives. And so I don't think that the child is like a cup. I think the child is like a river where education and learning that happens in their lives can be customized to their interests. It can be holistic. So it's definitely much more than just learning how to read and learning how to put numbers together in math problems. It's something that happens lifelong, like you already mentioned. It's not something that we're bound to do sitting down, but it happens anywhere we are in the world because of the way our minds are created. And it's infinite. Like no human on this planet will ever learn everything there is to know, like in the time that they're here on Earth. That's just like when we say that out loud, it's so obvious, but that's not what this factory model will have us to believe. So instead of seeing my job, like as a homeschool parent, is filling a cup up with water, like from a pitcher, I imagine my job is more like tending and being a caretaker of this beautiful, thriving river that's teeming with life. All of it is already there. I'm just bringing out the beauty in it. And when we recalibrate our perspective of learning and we think like, instead of just taking all of these messages as true and factual about what children need to learn, like if we just take a moment and look at our real actual kids living our real actual lives, we are going to find so many beautiful instances of learning where we think like, I know you and if you're like me, you've probably had a moment where you have seen your kid do or say something and you scratch your head and think, man, how did they pick that up? I never taught them that. And that's because we're built, we're created. I believe like way back even in like in the Bible to the creation story, like that we're created with this ability to innovate and make this world a place of flourishing. And our brains are always working, always moving, always building new neural pathways so that the information and problems we encounter, like we just have this natural drive to problem solve. And I think that's something that we already see and like your listeners are already experienced with and listening to you. Tom, you talk about these kinds of things all the time. Like when people ask questions like, oh, what about the roads? It's like, that is not like a big problem. Like we as humans, we can figure things out. And if we keep that in mind with how we treat our children, then I think that helps us overcome a lot of the fear of homeschooling.
These are all very well taken points. And I can understand, I can completely sympathize with people who they want to do it. They understand it. They understand what the reasons are. They understand what the stakes are. But despite all the assurances we give them, they say, look, we are a two-income family and we cannot make this work. There's just no way. What do you say to people like that? I mean, that's a legitimate concern where we both work. How can we do this?
Yeah, I can sympathize with that. I think you provide a lot of instruction and help with this, Tom, in how much you encourage entrepreneurs and innovative thinking. So like connected with what I was just saying about like we're all born learners, that goes for us as adults too. And whatever we have in front of us, and I don't want this to seem like it comes from like a very, I'm just like sitting high over here in my suburban house saying this, but everything that we encounter, there is a way to figure it out. And so again, if we're concerned that we won't be home during the school hours to educate our children, that is connected to this underlying belief that we have to emulate a school setup in our homes. And I know it can be a little bit more challenging to like find childcare for school-age children, but that's why I think it's so important to be in community as homeschoolers. And so you will find, if this is something that's on your mind, I would encourage you, if you're listening, find like a local or state homeschooling group, whether you're on Facebook or other social media, that's probably the easiest way to track them down. And ask your neighbors in that group, in your community, like, hey, what do you do? How have you solved this problem for your family? Because you are not the first person in the world to think that this is an insurmountable obstacle. There have been many homeschool families before you who have met that challenge and maybe like put it off for a while because they didn't think it was solvable and found ways around that. So I would encourage you ask. I don't have personal experience with that. Like right now I'm growing my small business, but before that we were a single income family and fortunate that that was workable for us. So I just recommend asking your friends and neighbors in the homeschool community what their experiences are. And I think it will be very inspiring.
Folks, let's take a minute to thank our sponsor, BetterHelp. We're living through changes that are happening very rapidly. We're seeing people turned against each other, our society being changed in ways we can't predict, and we don't know if it'll ever turn back. And that alone is enough to give people anxiety and worry about the future. But then on top of that, there's all the things going on in people's personal lives. Family conflicts, relationship problems. You may have problems sleeping, or problems with trauma, or depression, or stress, or anxiety. So I recommend a service I myself have used, and that's BetterHelp. They'll assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. You can send messages, all without leaving the comfort of your home. It's convenient, professional, affordable, available for clients worldwide. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Well, I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/woods. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/woods. Well, speaking of community, I want you to take a few minutes to talk about the community that you have. I am increasingly, especially as I get older, I realize I just turned 49. So chances are I have more yesterdays than I have tomorrows. That's a little bit morbid, but I am of the opinion that I want to learn from somebody, or I want to have somebody guide me, or I want to have the support of a community when I do something new. Like if I want to improve my chess game, I can work from a book, but I get way more out of it if I work with an actual human being who sits me down. We go over one of my games. He says, "Why did you make this stupid move? You weren't looking carefully enough. You moved too fast. You only took 10 seconds on this move and it was a blunder. Why did you do that?" I need that way more than I need another 3 books that I'll just put on my shelf and have them sit there. So that's why I like what you're doing. So describe for people what exactly it is that you're doing. And maybe this will help people feel more confident, you know, that, well, okay, I've got a bunch of people behind me who are in a similar boat, or some of whom have a lot more experience than I have, and I won't just be floundering on my own.
Absolutely. And I think, again, this is something that's come up on your podcast a lot recently, Tom, that just because we can live in our own houses in this day and age and like in these little boxes and just sit in front of computers to live our lives, and just because people think that that's possible, it doesn't mean that that's what we are designed for. Over the past year or two, I too have realized more than ever how much I need people. And I'm an introvert. And so there have probably been seasons in my life where I would be completely fine and happy to just sit home alone on a Friday night and not go out because it felt easier. But encountering things like lockdowns here in Ohio and just crazy stringent mask requirements and social pressure has made me realize that this community thing is not optional. Like it's not an optional or extra part of being human. We were created to be together with other people. And so in a time when people who in power are isolating us because it's a way to make them even more powerful, it is even more important than ever to find people who are like-minded for that support, like you were talking about, so that you feel on days that you feel stuck, you can run your problems by them. So that when you feel like you're facing a challenge and you think, oh my gosh, instead of thinking that it's a challenge you're facing, you start to believe that it's an indictment of your character or ability as a parent, and you start to feel like a failure. If you're in community, you'll hear other people say, no, that happens to me too. And it normalizes that experience. And so I have been working, like I mentioned, I've been working with homeschool families one-on-one more for this legal requirement in Ohio. And in doing that over the past couple of years, like I just kind of started doing it because I thought it would be like a helpful little side income for our family. And I have my teaching license, so that's how I'm able to do that. But what I've encountered is that like these moms sit across the table from me or talk to me on the phone. And I mean, Tom, sometimes they will just weep because they're so lonely. They're so overwhelmed and they just needed somebody to listen to them. And I started to realize like, it's not enough to offer this once a year to people. That's not like, you can't stretch out compassion and support that long. And so I am launching a membership community called With Community. And it's named that because I am standing up against this idea that as homeschoolers, we have to constantly be improving how well we instruct our children. We have to do more. We have to do better to feel like we're doing a good job. I don't think the solution is more. I think the solution is with. When we're with each other, we bring out the best in each other. We can encourage each other and build each other up. And yes, sometimes challenge each other so that this becomes a sustainable lifestyle. Man, there are many families who did this for the first time this past year and found it hard. And I tell them, of course, this was one of the most challenging years in human history. So of course, homeschooling was hard for you this year. But as more of us resolve to band together, then I think we will be able to find more endurance in our day-to-day lives to do this countercultural lifestyle in a very unique time in history.
So I went ahead and actually created, because, you know, everything on the Tom Woods Show is tomwoods.com/whatever. Right? That is just the way the Tom Woods Show works. I think that's the easiest way for people to remember how to get certain places. So for your community, I just created tomwoods.com/Laura. Simple, right? And that way people can get there easily. And I want to encourage people to go check out what you're doing and what you're offering, because I think you can help a lot of people, and you folks listening can be helped. Even if you're a veteran at this, even if you're like an expert on almost anything, you always need, there's always something you don't know. There's always some situation you say, oh gosh, I wish somebody could help get me out of this or figure out what I'm supposed to do. I mean, I have a private group for, Laura is a member actually, I have a private group of bloggers, of people who use my link to get their hosting. And so we have this private community. And from time to time, people have questions about, gee, I'm having this problem or that problem. And we just all come together and we solve it. So tomwoods.com/Laura is where you should go. And if I were you, especially if I were just getting started, it wouldn't even occur to me not to join Laura's community. That thought wouldn't enter my mind. And I have no affiliate relationship with Laura. If a million people join her site, I am exactly in the same position I was before. And if nobody joins her site, I'm coming through this microphone and lecturing each of you individually, because you're going to absolutely love what she has to offer. And how's that? How's that, Laura?
I'm grateful. And I should probably say, like, what exactly they might find in the community. And so
yes,
this is my founding member launch. And so you had Stu McLaren on your podcast a few months ago. And because you had him on, that's really what got this whole thing going, Tom. So I'm grateful to you for that. So I've been working in Stu's course and membership over the summer and really beginning to realize that what I want to do with the world. I think I was hesitant in the past to call myself a business owner or get myself in front of people and out there because I'm just a little shy and lack confidence sometimes. But what has made this much easier for me is that it is my favorite thing in the world to talk to someone and have them say, oh man, I was on the fence. I didn't think I could do it, but now I think I can. And so that is my hope for you. If you're listening and you're feeling like you're on the fence, if you're one of many parents across the US who right now schools are starting and it's just a week beforehand and suddenly there was no mask mandate, now there is one. Requirements are changing rapid fire. And if you're feeling like you have no recourse or nowhere to turn, this is a way that you can take a stand and say, I'm going to do what I think is best for my family, even though it feels challenging. And so in the WIF community, as a founding member, you get to help steer the community as we figure out how best to support each other and how things go. I'm closing the doors this Friday, August 20th. And so you get to get in on the ground floor. It's only $15 a month. I priced it super low because I want to help as many people as possible. And that's the highest price you'll ever pay as long as you're a member in good standing. And for that price, I'm going to be providing occasional teaching videos. And my hope is to make them super short and concise, like 5 to 10 minutes, so that they're easy to listen to and then be with you so that you can take action on what you're learning, so that you just aren't sitting there trying to set aside extra time in your busy schedule to participate in the community, but that it's something that will just seamlessly integrate into the life you already have. I hope to do occasional Zoom calls so we can see each other's faces. And even if you're here in Ohio, I'd love to do some in-person meetups too. I also am developing a map so that whether you are a veteran homeschooler or you're brand new to this, you can look at this map and think, okay, I'm right here. And here are some very specific steps I need to take to get to this next level so that I can find more peace and more confidence as I homeschool my kids.
Well, tremendous. I'll have your link also. I mean, it's easy, tomwoods.com/Laura, but I'll have it up on the show notes page, tomwoods.com/1951. And I know that, of course, last year, because of the total insanity, a lot of people took the plunge and a lot of people are not turning back. And that's great. I think this year it looked like things might be more normal than they are actually turning out to be in school. So we may have yet another group of people deciding, this is it, no more. This is the year I'm going to do it. And if that's the case, then you'll want to work with Laura and her folks. So tomwoods.com/Laura is where to go for that. Any parting words for us?
I would just like to speak directly. If you're a listener, and if you're like, even after everything I've shared, if you have just this deep fear, or if you have a specific question, I would love for you to reach out to me privately. You can find me on Facebook, Learn with Laura Swain, or Instagram, Learn with Laura Swain. I would love to help you. Like, I love to just look at people right in their eyes and say, no matter what you've experienced, no matter how smart of a person you feel, no matter how much you feel like you have messed up as a parent, you can teach your children, because it's not about you filling them with information. It's about you becoming a co-learner with them. And I think that you'll find if you just take this step and take this leap, that there's something inside you pulling toward. Listen to that. And I think you're going to be blown away.
All right. Well, excellent message. And again, to my folks, Laura's outstanding, and you're going to love what she does, and you're not going to feel as intimidated or terrified. You're going to feel confident and ready to take this on. And this is your little part of the revolution, is those little brains of those little people in your home and what winds up in those little brains. That's part of the revolution, is to secede from the Looney Tunes stuff. Yes. That winds up in there. Well, Laura, best of luck with this, and thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks so much. It was such a pleasure, Tom.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it. Do check out tomwoods.com/Laura. I know there are some of you out there, you know who you are, who have been thinking these kinds of subversive thoughts for a long time. I need to do this for my children, but I just don't know if I'm right for it. I just don't know if I can do it. Well, check out tomwoods.com/Laura. She'll help you. Now, tomorrow, we've got, who else? Scott Horton, and he's going to talk to us about what in heaven's name just happened in Afghanistan. So you won't want to miss that one. I'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.